There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top. If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. I'm a bad alpha, do it tight. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm the arms of the world, trying to true. And if you want to step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
And welcome to From the Helicarrier Classic, where we talk about Marvel Avengers Alliance numero uno. So today we've got, I rock out of podcasting, Charles McFall. I'm going to let Ibbitt give me some grief and introduce himself today.
I'm Brian Ibbitt. In the internet's own, Brian Ibbitt.
Oh, that's even better title, internet's own. Right? I love that. That is awesome.
Seen on the internet. All right, here's what's coming up on the show. We have a little bit to talk about. I scroll down here. That's the problem. It's like I'm missing my headlines. We talk about scheduled maintenance. Yes, we finally get some comment from Playdom, and it's scheduled maintenance. We also got a first look at the new Nova and our second look at Songbird. Can you see what's different? All this and more coming up in your emails coming up later on the show. But before we get to that, McFall, what can people spend their gold on right now?
Gold can go to getting your superior lockbox, your symbiotic lockbox, blah, blah, blah. Lots of lockboxes are on sale. There's actually a show four. That's not lots, sorry. So I was like, oh, there's multiple pages. No, there's not. So we've got the arcane lockbox, which is Loki. We've got the Boomerang lockbox, which is Boomerang Symbiotic, which is hybrid, and the Superior, which is one of the Spider-Men, of course. Those are all on sale, 30% off, but you have to use gold. So instead of 50 gold for the set of 50 lockboxes, it's 35 gold, which is actually pretty good if you're going to have to wrap up any of these. I have all four of these. I know, Ibbitt, you have all four of those. Mm-hmm. As well, but there
Uncle George is going to be really happy though, because he doesn't have a hybrid, so he's going to be super happy about hybrid going on sale. I wonder if he's going to finish things out.
Sorry, I had to turn off my fan, everybody. If it leaves it for me to pick up, I hope he does, because George, he's still in this game. He is probably the person that I know that has played the longest. He got you into the game, right?
No,
I got you got him in there. So you're
Technically, I mean, we just both started playing right about the same time. So, I wouldn't say either one of us really got the other into the game.
So there you go. You two are definitely the richest people in the game with your silver.
Hey, I bow at the foot of the master. I mean, I think he's figuring out if there is a 99,999,999 silver limit in the game. I think he's working on that. I think that if there's anybody that's going to be able to tell us if there is such a limit in this game, it's going to be Uncle George.
Well, that is a lofty goal to achieve.
Yes, but I'll tell you this. I don't think he's bought gold. I don't think he's even done a gold sale. I think anything that he's gotten... No, I take that back. He has to have, because he did finally break down and unlock the second training bay. Yeah, so he must have. But still, I mean, come on. He certainly doesn't do gold sale buys as often as I do, so...
Speaking of, we just had a gold sale.
We did. Oh, yeah.
And I had a summon an Inhumans weapon.
Exactly. It's a Black Bolt in a can, basically, because Black Bolt has the ability to summon the other Inhumans. So I think you coined that term we were talking about last week. Yeah.
Did you get it? Have you played with it?
I got it. I have not played with it yet. I've really just been maintaining right now, just getting, you know, silver reserves up and doing... very bare minimum stuff in the game, just making sure I log in every day. You know, not even really doing the daily, but
I know
it's kind of hard. You know, it's funny. It's like, all right, there's this downtime of no pressing things to do in the game, But when there's no pressing things, I don't feel like there's even a reason to go in and do the unpressing things, like doing the daily. All right, I'm going to confess. I still don't have Angry. I still haven't finished the chapter. I've got two tasks. I've honestly got two tasks left, is defeat Ronin with 65,000 or more and defeat Mandarin with 60,000 or more. Oh, yeah, I could just spend 20 gold right now and finish both of those and not even worry about it.
I got the Mandarins somehow. I skipped Ronin's because I fought it and it was very difficult to get the score. And I was like, I was rushing at that time. I was rushing to get angrier before the end of PvP and whatever season that was. So I ended up skipping that one. But Mandarin actually is pretty simple to get the score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. That is a really good point. For 20 gold, I can have the angrier alt, and that's less than I'd probably spend if they just said, hey, would you like to buy it with command points right now? I'd be like, oh, sure.
More than likely. You know what else you can spend something like 20 gold on?
What? What was that?
You can spend 20 American gold, which would be US dollars, on Loot Crate. What? Every month. This month, man, it's like I curated this box myself.
Oh, this is a good box, too. Yeah.
RoboCop, Terminator 2 Judgment Day, The Matrix, and Bioshock Infinite, Fallout 4. You got a figure, cool collectibles, and of course, the monthly t-shirt, which we all know Ibbit's running low on. He needs more t-shirts.
So, right. Yes.
You do this by going to lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up and enter code giant-size-team-up to save $3 off on any new subscription. But that's simple as that. You're not going to want to miss this box. It is just gorgeous. The artwork they got, I didn't recognize the artist's name, but Loot Crate today, if you go to Facebook on their page or their Twitter's out there as well, it's probably on lootcrate.com. I didn't go look there, but I follow them on Facebook, and this artist did this amazing dystopian piece of artwork that has basically all these characters from dystopian universes like RoboCop, Terminator, and The Matrix walking kind of side by side in that slow action. Well, I mean, it's a picture, so they're not actually walking, but you get the idea, and it's just gorgeous.
That's really cool.
Going. Like, now, if you throw that in as a lithograph, yeah, we're done. Shut up. We're done. You got to send me that box. So, but do that. lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up. Enter code giant-size-team-up to save $3 off and get this amazing box. You have until the 19th of June, midnight, to get that done.
Very nice. Cool. All right. So let's tackle these headlines one at a time and see if we can make any sense out of any of this stuff. Shall we?
Let's shall.
All right. First one is, of course, the scheduled maintenance. All right. What do we think? What do we think this means? It's so funny. You know, when there's so little content out, it's so tough to come up with something. But I mean, it's a long block. It's like a day of scheduled maintenance, like from the 9th. It's Thursday to Friday that the game is going to be down. They've been able to roll out new content, obviously, in the past without doing scheduled maintenance. So I think this might be, you know, this could be something like a server move. It could be, I don't know. I mean, again, stuff, stealth patches, balance fixes, PvP launches, all that stuff.
Just cleaning out old code that could cause glitches.
Could be. Yeah. They're switching their content from Flash to HTML5. There you go. You heard it here first.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I don't see that.
But I think it's more likely that Namor lives underground, underwater rather than underground. Namor lives under the ocean, so they're having to build an aquatic habitat
for there him you to, go. Right.
to be there so that then they can roll out his character in the game. That's more likely than HTML5 in my book.
No, Agent Oranos does bring up a really good point. It could be a way to purge the cheaters, like to that might be a fix that keeps people from getting in and entering in those codes that allow you to unlock weapons and whatnot. What do those do? Is like gold or weapons or something?
A lot of them are weapons. It's God mode on some of them. I haven't looked at any cheats since the very, very early days. And even then, most of the time we looked at it because we were covering it for the show saying,
this is
what it does. Stay away from it. But I know it'll do silver. Some of the basic cheats will do the flight deck, just redo the flight deck over and over for you. So you're farming silver automatically. Oh, some will give you gold in the past. I know there was essentially a God mode that on offense would basically make you unhittable. So that's how you get up to high adamantium rank when you have five heroes. that kind of thing. Now, on defense, it doesn't work for crap, and you die. But I don't know what the current cheats are, but this season apparently has been massively overrun with cheaters. I noticed a few of people who didn't belong where they were. Like, I walk in and 6,000 health across the board. It's like, oh,
right.
Well, let me just do one smash on the ground. Everybody's dead. But with the uproar and everything, I didn't see them affecting the game as much. It's not like I took a ton of losses on defense, no more than normal. What do you think of it?
You know, I never looked at that, honestly. Never looked to see what those, you know, if I was doing a defensive thing on that. It did seem like it was, there was a Black Bolt thing or something. Was it Black Bolt? There was something you could do with a character that would also do a cheat during PvP, and I have no idea. I remember seeing people talking about it on YouTube, but nobody like demonstrating what the cheat was. Right. So
I know King said something about setting up a blaster, the new blaster suit agent with certain weapons that they could one shot your team. Mm-hmm. I did not make notes because I was like, I'll be tempted to go build that team for PvP. But that was him on offense facing it on defense. He was running against that. So that's not a cheat as much as it is manipulating a glitch. I mean, we had a term for it before. It's like not when you're using a program to actually put in codes and break the game. Mm-hmm. You're actually using something in the game. Exploiting. You're exploiting something that shouldn't quite work
right,
that way.
Right, an exploit. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm looking for. I don't know. I didn't see a ton. I mean, I personally know I didn't make Adamantium because I didn't play as much as I wanted to and didn't quite pay attention to meta as much as I should have. That's about it for me. I know a lot of people, even in their Twitch chat right now, people are going up. They were Agent 12 says they were cheaters like ticks on dogs. I agree. Cheating ruins the game. It messes with the game. In the past, it has led to those CVE errors, the combat validation errors, which I just said CVE and then error. So that's like errors. I realize.
It's like ATM machine.
Yeah. Right. Anyway. So, well, cheaters need to go. I think what we need to focus on really with this maintenance is a better schedule on content and more engaging reasons to play all the time. I find the same thing on MAA too, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas on one of my other games, one of the Walking Dead games I play, the only Walking Dead game I play, but there's two out there, that I find that I just want to check in, get, you know, it's almost Farmville-ish where I have to collect my stuff because it won't go past a certain point after a certain time, like our flight decks. And I'll play a battle or two. And, you know, that actually gets me into game mode play, and then I'll go play. I still have to finish Spec Ops 1 on MAA2. You still need to do Anger. Yeah, I never finished it, but I used my free key on it, and not knowing that I have a second. I mean, it's a choice. Ant-Man, I didn't know it was a choice, but it comes down to a choice of Ant-Man or Bucky, and, you know, Ant-Man's good. So I'm going to get him. What could they do? Now, and we do have some audio that will give us some suggestions, but what could they do to make the game a little bit more attractive? I don't know, more of what you want to get in there to play.
Right. Yeah, they need to do something. I mean, at the very least, continuing on the same content schedule that you see with other games. You know, I'm okay with a week between the end of PvP and the start of the next PvP. Like, if previous PvP ended, what did it end? Like, Tuesday, right? It was right before we recorded. Oh, no, it was during. It was while we were recording Helicarrier last week, PvP ended. So having PvP end and then a few days, like basically a week and whatever, you know, make the next PvP start the following Friday, not the
Friday. This coming Friday.
Exactly. Gotcha. That should be a predictable and regular PvP schedule. Although seriously, I mean, these guys could learn so much from looking at other games like Final Fight and stuff like that, where, you know, every PvP doesn't have to be a big monumental event. Even the pre-VPs could be smaller. Do a weekend PvP, right? And have a 3-day long weekend PvP, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that rewards maybe an older weapon that it was harder to find, an old gold sale weapon. Or have a 2 week long regular PvP season. I mean, things, they do these big spec ops and PvP deals, and I think they burn so much out on those that they need the 2 to 3 weeks between time to recover from that. And I think they should be, you know, release a spec ops while that spec ops is going, start working on the next spec ops. So as soon as spec ops 35 is done, 5 days later, you can release spec ops 36 or whatever it is. And then PvPs, leave like a week and a half space between them, but get on a regular schedule so that not only you guys have this idea of what to expect, but more importantly, your player base knows what to expect. If they know, all right, well, PvP just ended, I've got a little bit of downtime, this, I'm going to take advantage of this time to level up my cloak and dagger or do this or do that, with time before the next thing starts, I think people really, really benefit from that on both sides of the code.
Yeah. This seems like a good point. I got some audio to play, and we're going to be pausing it as we play it because it's got a lot of lots of different suggestions. This is from Ree.
Oh, good. Okay.
Ree51, I think it is, in the chat room.
Seven. I thought there was 71. A
7. Is it 71? It's Ree7. Ree, you know who you are. You'll recognize your voice. He and I chat off and on.
And I'll bet he says it. I'll bet he says it actually in his audio.
Actually, I think he does not.
Oh, he doesn't really?
Yeah. But
his real name is Brian. He's got a really, really cool real name.
Yeah, nothing generic like Charles.
No, she's gone.
But before we get into all this, because we're going to get into a nice discussion about it, we have been nominated for the Podcast Awards 2016. Oh, yeah. Both us and Breaking the Panel, both shows that Ibb and I are on and host as main.
We're
main,
we're main
characters, regulars. Yeah, Paul Klotz and Chris Wisdom as
that's right.
And a slew of guest hosts. Both shows have been nominated. We need you to still go vote. You have until June 12th at, it's a weird time. It's like 9 p.m. Eastern. So I think he did it midnight Pacific, is what it sounds like he did it.
Right, because he's in Hawaii, so that makes sense.
Right, it makes sense. So he being Todd Cochran, in case anybody wanted to know who we're referring to. So yeah, go vote until June 12th, once a day. Vote for all the great shows that you like in the categories. Breaking the Panel is in entertainment. From the Helicarrier, this show is in gaming, and we could use your help. I like how you put it, Ibbit. We really want to show that our audience is better than their audience, because they're all great shows. If you lined up content to content and delivery to delivery, it's going to be a difficult decision, and then it comes into the eyes of the beholder. But when you compare audiences, we know it's ours is better. So so go with the rage that you had after Deadpool Gate, PvP Gate, use that energy to go vote once a day and get all your friends to go vote. We really could use your help. And it would really mean the world to me and Ibbit and everybody else, Chris and Klotz, you know, for all of us. So
totally.
So go and do that. So Ibbit, I guess without a little further ado, it's gonna be a lot of stop and start here. Because
sure, let's hear the audio, and then we can stuff. We can answer and respond to stuff on it.
Exactly.
Right?
So cool. Here we go.
Ideas for Marvel Avengers Alliance. First one: separate seasons 1 and 2 in PvE. If you are playing a mission in season 1 and you want to go over and play one in season 2, you don't have to abort the mission in season 1 and vice versa to play the other. You can have both of them going on simultaneously. Second,
That makes sense. I mean, do it just like with spec ops, right? You can have your dudes going in spec ops and you can say, oh, I want to do a really quick chapter mission. You go to chapter whatever and work on trying to farm in a weapon. I think that totally makes sense. Keep the seasons individual and the just like they are with seasons and spec ops.
Right. Now, for the record, I've heard these because I cut this down for time. I edited it for time. I have a lot of great ideas. Ibbit has not heard these, but as you go through, and as far as I know, Ree doesn't really play MAA 2. He tried it, didn't like it, or maybe he said he didn't really care to try it at all. But a lot of the ideas, some of the ideas he mentions here are similar to what they do in MAA 2. So we know that a lot of these are possible. Here's his second idea.
Drop down menu and resume. If you are playing, for instance, spec ops, also you have one in season 2 or a daily mission, when you click on the resume tab, it will have a little drop down menu asking you which one you want to resume, so that there's no one that's more important than the other.
So that's Very similar. It
totally makes sense. And, mm-hmm. and it's a brilliant one. Yes, for sure.
Collect instead of visit. When you go to visit people, you know, your allies, instead of going to each single one, all you have to do is just go onto their little icon on the ally bar and click on it, and it'll have the little pop-up menu saying send gift or visit or whatever. It'll just say collect, and you can just click on collect, and then that way you don't have to go physically to every single person and click on all the little green things there.
Oh my God, that would be a dream. Now, so far, this is my favorite of his suggestions, because that is so time consuming, and it's not like it's promoting anything. Like, it would be one thing if every time you went to one of your allies' locations, an ad would pop up or something like that that benefits anybody. This is really just busy work for busy work's sake.
Yeah, it's an old mechanism based off of marketing the game, and that's what Farmville did and a lot of others,
right.
Is, hey, go get more people to come play the game because you can have these friends and you have to visit them. And,
right.
And I don't know that it does it that much anymore. Yes, the newer Facebook games definitely have a share button, and you have to have friends to play. All of them, it's a social game, and their whole marketing strategy is the more people play, the better ads they can sell, and the more people do the microtransactions. It's a viable business model. But yeah, in this day and age, this is an outdated model of that. Like you said, it's not making them any money. People like you and I who've been playing forever, we have 50 plus friends on the bar. So it's not like we can go get new people, or it's not like we're inclined just by playing the game to go get people to play it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I want the option to visit or collect. Because sometimes I want to get my stuff from them. I want to leave the radio.
You need it for a task, sure. Yeah,
right, makes sense. Right. Mm-hmm. So that kind of thing. But yeah, collect all is a beautiful thing.
Items collected display on ally visits. If you perchance go to someone's, you know, your allies, and you go visit their map, when you go there and it fills up your energy bar and stuff like that, you'll have like the energy bar. That would be the most important, but it'll have like silver and shield points and stuff like that. So that way you'll be able to keep a track of how much you have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not following that one totally.
So you know how one of the things you can get from your ally visits is an energy
and it's an point. Instant 2 energy or 1 energy point.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So having the ability to just go only as far as you need to refill your energy, if you don't have a big stockpile of energy, that makes sense. And say, you know, all right, just go enough to fill my energy and then stop collecting. And then I'm going to play a bunch and then I'm going to come back, do a few more ally visits to refill my energy. Totally makes sense.
So I guess now when you do it, you have to go back to the main screen because, you know, it has your energy at the top with gold.
Yes.
And so you can't, when you're, I'm not in a collection screen right now, but when you're collecting, you can't necessarily see your energy build up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you can see it, but if you get more than that, it doesn't
do
stockpile.
Anything. Right.
Right. It, you know, your thing, your gifts you collect stockpile, but your energy that you collect that way doesn't. So it only makes sense to go as far as it takes to fill your energy up.
I know with the radios, a lot of times in Spec Ops, you have to go collect so many radios from so many people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know I go through and collect and do all my stuff, and then I have to wait till I come back to the main screen for the mission to come up. Go, oh, yeah, you got them. So here's the next mission. So, yeah, I can see, I guess, that bar saying, no, you collected 3, so go ahead and jump back out and block.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Cassius is saying, wait, this is beginning to sound very automated, which is a big no-no last I heard. Normally, I'd agree with you, Cassius, but there's no benefit to Playdom for you going ally by ally, clicking each of their green hovering doodads and collecting stuff, because it's not like, again, they're not showing a different ad every time you go to a different page. They're not giving you an option to buy something every time you go to one of those allies. There's no benefit to the user or Playdom in making you go through that rigmarole. So, you know, it has, as a matter of fact, it keeps you from saying, oh, I just want to refill my energy now. Let me spend gold, you know? So, if anything, it's detracting from from them having this ability. I think giving us the ability to click a button and collect from all of our allies or a portion of our allies, boom, done.
Yeah, and there's a difference between outside automation, which can break the game's code, and them offering it. The flight deck, where we used to have to click and send every single one. Now you can just collect one, collect all, or collect and resend all. Or, you know, collect those kind of things. So they added those buttons that essentially automated the flight deck just to the point that you still have to tell it to do it. Mm-hmm. But it does all of it at once.
Yeah.
And it makes it easier. I'm laughing at the chat room where they're starting a little bit of a controversy where it's, we need a third training room. And there's yes and no. And yeah.
Right. Right.
I don't know. Well, we'll get to a question we have in the email that may address the need for a third training room. Because unless there's better silver, which I think Reed talks about here as well, unless we get better silver drops, then for me, a third training room is out of line because I don't need it. I'm actually leaving one empty right now because I just can't maintain the silver levels to keep both running. So here's his next suggestion.
Consolidate all weapons type for level, like all your spinning vipers, right, that are all level 300 or whatever level you are, and they're all in the same thing. Instead of having like different single ones in your inventory, just put them all together. Okay, birth.
So what he's saying is we've, especially 300s, we've definitely run into that problem of spinning, especially if you're farming, you'll spin the weapon up constantly, and you'll have 6, 7, 8 of a weapon that you're never going to use.
Right. Oh, but my God. How many Vibra Shotels do you have, right? Oh
God, I don't even know, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with his number, 26. I have no idea. Yeah. So he's just saying instead of having them all laid out in your armory or in your items, whatever you want to call it, you have just the one block in the number, you know, 26 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That just really kind of, to me, that will definitely help when I'm looking for a weapon in different screens. Because in the main screen, when you're doing your team screen, you can search weapons, and that's easy enough to do. But it would definitely help sort out if you're flipping through. It would definitely bring it down. Now, here's the other thing I want to do is newest first, or at least give me something similar to the team screen. So the team screen, you can pick your characters by, come on, load, thank you, default, which is just how they were laid out in the game.
Right, and the order in which they were introduced, yeah.
Okay, yeah. A to Z, their level, and needs training. I like something similar for weapons because I can't tell you how many PvPs I've come off with. Yes. Oh, yeah, I want to try that new weapon. I literally think that new weapon, and I don't remember
what. You forgot what it was called or whatever.
I kind of know what it looks like-ish.
I know.
PvP, 7 pages in. 7 pages in is where it landed. Don't know why.
Yeah. They need to expand that searchable thing, too, so that you can say, oh, yeah, I don't remember what it was called, but it was part of the Vibranium set. Or the Legionnaire's set or something like that. Yeah, if you get the four set weapons, put them all together in a little box so that if I do want it, I just click that initial box. It's almost like the synthetic cube where you click the cube, but then you get four additional boxes that show you the four additional actions it has. Do that with the weapon set so I can say, oh yeah, it was Spec Ops 32, but it was one of those four weapons, and then you can also go equip them all. Like, give me all four together.
Quit set. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Set. If you only take one thing out of this particular discussion of the buttons for the weapons, sets, grouping the sets. Right. I would love to have a PV along the same lines, a PvP button. Hit PvP, you see all the weapons that came out of winning from PvP.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be cool. But I can't tell you how many times I've gone, oh, I want something on this weapon, like health, stamina, drain stamina. And so a list on the wikis, it'll list all the drain stamina weapons. And invariably, there's one from a set. And I don't remember if I have 3 or 4 pieces or whatever. And going searching for them, I have to then write down the set or keep a tab open and go search for each separate piece.
Yeah. Oh, so frustrating. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, next.
Birthdays. They got to do something for birthdays. You know, register at playdom.com or something like that and get some sort of gift on your birthday. Red out heroes if it's a deploy for that mission.
Sorry, I jumped in two lines there. So we'll cover them both. I don't know that I necessarily agree with the birthday thing. And he was suggesting that you get the, I cut this for time, but he was suggesting that for your birthday, you get to pick anything in the game at a discount.
Yeah. I think I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I love, you know, I think it's a nice thought.
It is a very nice thought. I think it's too easy to cheat that system.
Right. Right.
And too hard to code.
For sure. Yeah, like you get a coupon code. No, I mean, just give me 5 gold on my birthday or something like that. Something easy. But then somebody would figure out a way to hack it, and it would be a nightmare.
Well, you can go and change your birthday. So then they'd have to have codes to check on that. How many times have you changed your birthday? Because I'd get 5 gold every day. Because I wouldn't personally, but it's possible. And then the next thing he's saying is read out the heroes needed for deploys on the Spec Ops. So that's what he's saying, reading out the heroes.
Deploy somebody somewhere, all right? And then, like, the next mission, it pops up as a team up. And you're like, crap, now I got to get this guy back out of here and go do this all over again. For PV.
Okay. So the idea is on the Spec Ops, I've done this too, is you deploy a person.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very next thing is you need them for a team up.
Oh, right. Or you need them for right. Exactly.
Or God forbid you're doing the 36 hour training to get them to level 15 14 or 15. And then the next thing is team up. You have to have them. It's like, I'm not going to abort that because it took a ton of silver.
Not
going
to spend gold. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So you have to wait. So he's saying basically put a red line around the box to say, they're going to be needed for something in this mission, you know, specific deploy or team up or that kind of thing. So, you know, let me hold on to them. It's kind of already done on the wikis. If you get it for enough time, it'll give the chapter or chapter breakdowns or the Spec Ops breakdown and say, you're going to need these people for this thing. But it would be nice to have a little reminder, because I can't tell you with the campers how many times I went to do something, you know, training wise and went, oh, yeah, I have to have that person for this fight because there's only 8 campers to pick from on that Spec Ops.
Right, right.
So,
okay.
E, this would be for defensive. Let us be able to see the hero stats that we PvE. Had at the end of that mission. So then you could go back on there and say, okay, how well did my agent do?
Oh.
So that, yeah.
Yeah.
You get that all one? Right.
Sure, it makes sense. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just basically fleshing out the information they give you at the end where it says, you know, overkill bonus, quartermaster bonus, things like that. It'll basically say your agent was responsible for 58% of the kills.
Right.
Like that, right.
Yeah. He was saying, you know, show how much
health. How much damage you did. And
yeah. And he even broke it down to, again, I cut it for time, but he broke it down to heroes. It would show your agent did this much damage, had this much health left, and you know the effectiveness of that loadout versus this character with you died instantly and did no damage. Or you know, it just kind of helps you see the effectiveness of the team and the synergies and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
Need play of the game.
There you go.
We also need higher flight deck levels because we need more silver.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's the bottom
line. Yeah, introduce a new plane.
Yeah.
Even if we have to upgrade that plane, but give us, SR-71 Quinjets just like the X-Men have.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. Except no X-Men in this game.
I know. Well, I didn't say call the Blackbird.
Yeah. there's the Quinjets here. We have the bus from S.H.I.E.L.D., right? Because these jets are not... These are old Quinjets. We don't have the newest Quinjets from the movies.
Right. Yeah, the Civil War. Right, the one we see in Civil War. Good point.
Exactly. So, yeah, they could definitely upgrade. Silver is the hardest thing to manage in this game because you need it for everything, and you get very little of it. And actually, in an email coming up, I glanced through it, and they're going to mention, are we ever going to get group bosses back? Because the Spec Ops we just had 2 heroes. The next one, apparently, that's been announced will have 2 heroes. So... group bosses were a nice multi-million dollar silver pinata, and that's needed. So, yeah, I agree. If we can, you did a great job, Platum, on giving us level 15 heroes. We'll get 100% more back. You know, that's great, but we're still only getting, I mean, small amounts of silver, especially for people who work 8-10 hours a day, can only play an hour or two. they're not getting very much off the flight deck at all. So mm-hmm. yeah, I agree with that. Here we go.
Multi-skip for that would be like, we've got like 20 some pages of heroes. Instead of going one at a time, we need one of those little double arrow multi-skip things where you can just click on it and it'll go up like 3 to 5 pages to go through mm-hmm. the heroes faster.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay without it. What do you think?
It's yeah, I mean, if it, maybe not that, but give us a slider, you know, I mean, rather than a thing that just bypasses a hard to predict amount. I mean, once you know it's 3 pages, you know it's 3 pages. But give us a slider so we can just, you know, click slide over the bar as far as we want to get to the heroes we want.
Now, for the most part, most of the time you access your heroes, you can just search their name. Mm-hmm. But right. that didn't help if you're flipping through and going, who do I want to use? Right. I agree. You know, 17 pages now, I think it is.
It's 20, I think.
Is it 20?
Oh, it's 20 pages,
holy
yeah.
cow. So, yeah, you know, something that would let us flip through. Because for the most part, I know my team and who I want, but there's I can't remember what the interface is. If it's PvP, it's probably one of them, where you just have to go page by page. But mm-hmm. they do put more on the screen than normal. But there's another one. It seemed like you couldn't just search your heroes. But then those days where I'm doing the daily missions or just who do I want to play with, you do kind of flip through the page. It's a lot of pages to flip, mm-hmm. to flip through. So there you go. He asked for a slider. Here comes some more stuff.
We need some sort of a battle dummy in probably the simulator. And that would be, I think it was on Mortal Kombat 4, where you could just beat the crap out of somebody and they wouldn't take any damage, you know, to die or anything. They would just pop right back up to zero so you could see how much stuff you were hitting for combo-wise.
So, mm-hmm. I remember that
like from a training dummy. Tekken. Yeah.
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 Just to say, oh, this they together have does do that.
In World of Warcraft, they're very useful to like try a different loadout and like, all right, I can swap this set of EISOs out and then try it again and see what the damage is you're doing. I think it's not yeah. a bad idea.
Yeah, I like mm-hmm. it.
Bonus mm-hmm. for defeating a counter class. What about an arcade game?
Okay, that was two ideas.
So what if you got a bonus for defeating a counter class?
So his suggestion was you were playing a scrapper in game. And in the battle itself, you beat the bruiser. At first, I thought he was going to be bonus points, which would be a fine thing to do as well. But he meant because bruisers are stronger to scrappers, the scrapper defeating the bruiser should get you an instant one round or two round or even permanent, depending on what the benefit was, in just that battle bonus of like morale boost. Or like for scrappers, maybe you get CQC for... close quarters. Yeah, I said it right. Mm-hmm. Okay, CQC for a round or two because you defeated your arch nemesis, as it were. So I like it. It's an interesting thing. It would make battles be different, more interesting.
Sure.
Now,
sure.
This one, he's talking about an actual physical arcade game where you go and meet up with people. It's a very interesting idea.
For Marvelous Avengers Alliance, if they had something like that where you could load up all of your gear and stuff, and everything, and go to the arcade and do an actual PvP. You just slip in your memory card and fight someone else head to head. Do you guys think that would be a good idea?
So he referenced Tekken or somebody before did that? Somebody did that before?
Yeah, Tekken did it. I want to say that there was one of the Capcom fighting games did it as well, like the Marvel versus Capcom 8 or something like that. I mean, I remember there being a way to do that. Golden Tee Golf does this too, where
you can punch in a code or something.
You
right?
can punch in a code and you can play at any arcade. I don't know if there's like a home game tie-in or anything like that, but yeah, I don't know. I mean,
it might make Marvel a competitive sports arena game if they did something like that. Actual PvP, you face to face. Although yeah. I can foresee, as angry as we get in PvP, I can foresee just Rick Timmer's backhanding somebody.
Oh, God, I know. Oh, you're gonna proc a counterattack again?
Yeah.
I don't see myself doing that. However, if they were to offer a way to do dedicated PvP matches where I can actually say, all right, I want to play Charles. You know, and we go to one of those gaming arenas where they've got like 20 machines all set up all on the same network. And I can actually say, all right, let's do a round robin tournament with MAA where I can play against Charles. And then if whoever wins that plays against Paul Klotz, and whoever wins another bracket where it's between Ree and Agent Ornos, they play and we play the winner of that. I mean, I think that would be being able to do like specific, I want to play against people in my list with PvP.
Yeah.
My thing against their defense does two things. Number one, it creates so many like friend requests and stuff like that, which Playdom and Facebook have to like.
Right.
Number two, for us, it gives us a way to see how our defense would do against specific teams. So, you know, all right, I know Charles is running Electro Shocker and an agent with a lot of electricity gear. Mm-hmm. I can actually have you play my guy and see how it would do against that defense. Granted, it's not the AI defense.
Right. So you doing the defense. But yeah, I mean,
but
especially if you can figure out a way to do it from home where I don't have to leave and go do that. Can you imagine with all the different groups out there, including our own, the Agents Only Lounge, we'd be running a tournament once. Well, okay, we'd like to do it more than that, but realistically, once every 3 months. Right. We'd run an Agents Only Lounge tournament, and everybody would turn out because they always want – everybody who plays this game wants to know, how's my defensive work? And can I actually beat another player? And two, we love talking to each other about the game as much as we can kind of act like it. We play the game together. Right. You know, we're always if people are live, I've seen them in the lounge going, you know, here's what I'm doing right now, especially game day. Right. Mm-hmm. And this past game day where we did the live show and you're watching us play and you're playing at the same time, that's that kind of community. Man, that would I would do that.
And people are saying, yeah, make it practice mode. Totally fine. Like, you know, we've got our practice battles. Psh, wipe that interface out and make it you're playing against your friends. It's brilliant.
Now, if that's what the schedule maintenance is, we're still taking credit for the idea today.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. I think absolutely. We'll take credit for that business, sure.
So I think the verdict is Ree with some caveats. We like it. That's a good idea.
Agent 1-2 says, I already hate PvP. Doing it against you guys would make me quit altogether. That's funny. That's totally funny.
You never know. I beat Kingfisher, you know, because it wasn't him playing it. It was the computer, but things happen. I'm sure my team gets beaten quite often and loudly by the people in the lounge. Like, yeah, McFall, here's what happened. And they post results and whatever.
Right.
So
right.
It's just fun. Here we go. Here's the next one.
Selling from your armory. That would be great. So, for instance, like a little checkbox. You can just check it on there and then just like, you know, delete or sell or whatever.
So that would be directly from your inventory. Right. Instead of having to go to the store,
so you're looking through
a quick sell.
100% yes. Right. Yeah. Because you go in there and you say, oh, I've got 58 Rough Riders or whatever.
Oh, yeah. That gun, Rough Rider rifle. Yep.
Yes. It just make me give me ability to select it, sell, select, sell, select, sell instead of going to the store.
Or how Brand about the store, let me go, click, 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 sell all. Are you sure?
Yes.
Yes. Done. MAA2 does something like that with the crystals.
Yes, they totally do. And if I've got multiple of something, put them all in the same thing and put a little number in the corner. Don't show me every single Vibra Shotel, Chattel, whatever, however that thing is
You know
pronounced.
What we call it off the air.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah. Give me a way to just get rid of them all, you know, and view them all in one box.
Yeah.
Yeah. The inventory screen needs the same kind of overhaul that we got with the player screen.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the same kind of overhaul we got with the, it's a similar, never mind. I was going to say with the armory for the PvP, but that was actually a different overhaul. That was still a much needed overhaul, but that was a different type of thing than we're talking about here. So here's the next idea.
Another one would be ISO changes shown before placement.
So you take your ISO for your agent, and you know how you're loading out Stoics, right? And maybe you want to say, let me get strong instead. Instead of putting the crystal, and this is all him. You know, I'm not making this up. I'm just interpreting because I cut it for time. Just credit where credit's due. So you take the crystal, you either hover over the spot, and it'll show you the changes, or you put it in before it's permanent. You see the change it'll make to your stats.
So you got a lock-in button at the bottom. Yeah, exactly. You've got the ability to do a lock-in button, and hell, give it to us for the whole thing, right? Let us play around with ISO and EISO and AISO, and then commit changes? Question mark.
Yes.
right? And then we're not out that ISO and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly, for those of you who don't know, an MAA2, when you're loading that EISO on your heroes, it works exactly that way. You can go ahead, you don't click multiples, but you can click one, and you can see what the new one does, and it instantly shows you the changes. It shows you what your buffs are going to do as far as your bonus attacks or benefits or whatever comes with that ISO. And you can cancel or you can confirm. Mm-hmm. And when you confirm, then you get a choice to either destroy the other ISO or buy it back, which is another great feature. So, yeah, I mean, to know, I mean, that's why, man, when people see my loadout on my agent's uniform, they're like, why are you doing that? Because the numbers made sense at the time, and I really don't have the time to go with every loadout and every suit to figure out the entirety of the best. I know there's an Excel sheet out there, a calculator out there that helps you, but I just don't have the time to go, oh, what's all this? And will it do this?
Yes.
And
how, yeah, there have been a couple where it's like, you know what, I'm just giving Cloak and Dagger all the chaotics.
You know what I've done? I'm a little more chaotic than that. I am, all right, what's the first six that I have on my screen? Even if I have multiples, I'll kind of do two, really? Three.
Just go boom, boom.
Because I don't know what Blue Marvel is going to need at level 15 and what the meta is going to be. So he's not naked right now. I'm going to throw in some ISOs just randomly to get the stats up.
Got something? Sure.
And then when I play with him and I figure it out, then I kind of go back and tweak. Well, in theory, I don't think I've ever actually gone back and tweaked anything until like this PvP where people were looking at Star-Lord or Spitfire and going, you need 8, you know, 4 strongs and 4 fasts or whatever it was. Okay, and sure enough, it changed her attack. Being able to see the loadout and how it would affect things, or better yet, saying, hey, using Spitfire as an example, do you want to lean towards, it'd be a button that says attack, defense, health, or stamina. And when you click it, it kind of gives you a suggestion from what you have of here's this possible loadout of ISOs, and here's what it do to the stats, confirm. And so you'd hit attack for, I would hit attack for Spitfire, and it would say what they said in the chat room, you know, 6 strongs and 2 whatever. Right. And yeah, I don't know.
Not a bad idea. And there's something very similar that Hearthstone does when you're building a deck. It says, do you want some help? And you say, sure. And it says, all right, well, let's start with some easy level 1 and 2 cards. And all right, click a few that you're click, you know, 10 of these. And you're still picking the things you want, but it's kind of guiding you through the process. It's, okay, now you need some heavy hitters. Now go pick up a level 10 attack. And it walks you through building a very standard deck, but it does it in a way where you still have control over what you're putting in there. But
yes,
but it's guiding you through the process, and I think that would be cool.
That same thing with the Walking Dead, The Road Home, I think is the one. I don't play with the one with Norman Reedus on the cover. I play the one with Michonne on the cover. So same thing. I can do autofill my team, and it'll give me what it considers to be the best loadout team and the best loadout weapons, and then I can tweak from there. But it gives me a good idea of where to start. And somebody said Arenas probably. I take a look at their base stats, and they'll basically tell me what they need. And I've used that method. I mentioned that probably years ago at this point. Going, hey, there's two methods of doing it. One is look at the stats and see where the holes are and fill the holes, or the other is see what's strong and make that even stronger.
Yeah.
And I've used both of those from time to time. But now I'm just like, like, I had to use Cyclops, and he had, like, year 2 crystals still on him.
Yeah, right. And I mean, if you don't go to them, and
And so I just randomly, whatever I had on my screen there, I just outfitted it instead. Because 9 times out of 10, PV especially, when I have to use them, then it will be, it doesn't matter. As long as you've got them pretty much up to date, you're going to go in and win. PvP is really where the tweaking comes in, and for the most part, the characters I use, I know how to load them out close enough that I do okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, on to the next one. Oh, and somebody on back of the check mark to sell button, they want a never sell button as well. So you can not accidentally sell.
You don't accidentally. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Which is pretty smart. I think I've done that before.
Well, I mean, if it just gives you a question button saying confirm.
Yeah.
Confirm you want to sell all these things. If you're doing the thing where it's like MA2, where you're saying, all right, sell all these items. You click, 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 scroll through, click, click, click. And then at the end, there should be like, here's a listing of all the things you want to sell. Confirm. Boom. Yeah. You know, like that. That's a good way to do it.
All right, next.
PvP prizes, unlocking blueprints. What if, say, the silver leagues and the gold leagues and possibly even the diamond leagues get to unlock a certain amount of blueprints, whichever ones they want? So, for instance, if you got a silver prize, right, you ended up in silver, you get to pick any single blueprint in the game that you have locked and unlock it free of charge.
So, and he went on to say you still have to buy the stuff to make it.
The materials to make it.
Yeah, the materials.
So, blueprints meaning like spec ops blueprints too? Not just like uniforms?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think the guns and the different things. I would think so, yeah, because you once you unlock that weapon blueprint, you still have to have 28 of the whatevers to research it for a day, you know. And that's a gold purchasable item.
Interesting. I like that. Yeah.
So I like it. I'm going to stop here because there's a few more. He went on to say one of the ones I thought was interesting was like in football, where the worst team gets the first draft. Mm-hmm. What if the worst place in PvP, silver, you got the character instead of adamantium? That's all you get, you know. Because he's like, he actually went on to say, hey, you play so slow, you need help. Here's a character to help you out. But at the same time, people would cheat and just, you know, not play anything beyond silver.
They do something similar with the trivia thing that I go to, where the team that does the worst also gets it was probably originally the team that does the worst gets a prize, but it's the teams that's the second worst. So you can't just like really screw up. You've got to try. If you want to be the second worst, you have to be bad, but you have to try to be better than the worst team.
Yeah, and he addressed that a little bit and saying, even if you cheated out and only did silver and got the character, you don't get the weapon, the uniform, the gold, all the other stuff that goes with it.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting idea. Mm-hmm. And we absolutely would love to hear more ideas. You can hit us up. An email is from thehellocarrier@gmail.com. Or like here, he found us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/fromthehellocarrier. And said it's a really long list. He didn't feel like writing it all out. And I said, hey, see if your phone has something to record on. And it did. And he sent it in. And we played it and discussed it. There's a lot of good ideas here. So we'd absolutely like to hear from you. But now we have some more audio, right? Cool. Are we ready for King? I mean, do you have anything else to input or anything
that I'm missing? No, I think that's all great. I think that was great. Some great stuff. And it was good content for an episode where we don't have any content. So nice. Yes.
Timing was perfect. Mm-hmm. All right, here comes King. In theory, here we go.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now, for today, I promised Beetle, and I'm going to deliver Beetle. But first, I just want to address a few things. Nothing that I'm upset about or anything like that, but since Playdom is listening, lately, I've been seeing quite a few players, and we're talking long-term hardcore players, say how bored they are, and some of them are even quitting. Now, I'm kind of bored myself, but I'm not at that extreme level. I've been much more bored in the past. However, just to address the state of MAA and what I think could help, well, I'm going to give my opinions. First of all, I have over 1,000 CP, and what that tells me is there hasn't been enough alternate costumes or general releases, but certainly the costume thing has fallen off. I mean, I think we all expected costumes for just about everyone in Civil War, and we only got Black Panther. In fact, I just saw a recent post saying there's well over 100 characters that don't have a single alternate costume, so maybe they could try releasing a few more of those. Secondly, I know Nova's coming, but they should try to bump that up to at least one new general release character every 2 months. That's what I would aim for. After that, maybe make some weapons available for CP, or some sort of conversion. I don't know, those are just some quick thoughts off the top of my head. But as far as other improvements, since we now have to train to level 15, and yes, I know a group boss is coming, that's going to help a lot, but silver is such an issue. maybe they should think about bumping up the silver you get from flight deck missions. That would be very well received. And finally, if you want to drive interest, get players coming back or end the boredom. Nothing beats a new Season 2 chapter. And I know I don't have the analytics that they do, but I can tell you from my YouTube channel that views, subscribers, and virtually every statistic skyrockets after a new chapter is released. So even on my limited scale, I can see it drives interest. It has to increase numbers for the game by so much more. So yeah, I know they're working hard on new chapters, but they may want to step it up. Releasing one this month would be a huge deal. At the very latest, next month. You have to stop those hardcore players from getting bored. They're the core of the gaming community. So yeah, that was just a quick state of the game address, and now we'll move on to the Beetle. Now, Beetle has a few issues, and these have definitely been pointed out. Her stamina is a serious problem, and her health really isn't that great, but you can improve that a little bit with ISO. So, focusing on what she does well, she has some pretty decent attacks and damage, plus she follows up attacks and can hit with a big exploit opportunity level 9 AoE. So I want to at least touch upon all of these bases in the All Hail the King episode. One character that I almost used with her in my first video on her, and that a few people mentioned in the comments of that video, is going to be Ant-Man. So we're talking Scott Lang. Scott's pretty awesome and can actually have an opportunist debuff ability that's an AoE and can be a quick action. That's pretty tough to beat. Then he's going to crush people with pint-sized surprise. So just for those two abilities alone, he's going to be an excellent team up. Next, we're going to team her up with Union Jack. And it was either him, Rocket Raccoon, or Spider-Man Noir. But I do like Union Jack quite a bit, and I feel like using him in this episode. Finally, we thought about using a burning character, so maybe Sunfire or Human Torch. Instead though, we could just use the weather control device for that. Or stick with the manifesting AISO on her playbook. So it's back to Opportunist. And so for her final teammate, we're going to use Hybrid. I think they should all be pretty decent teammates. It's not like their teams are going to be the most overpowered of all time. Beetle isn't exactly that type of character. She's not even a Cloak and Dagger or Blue Marvel. But at least she's not at the bottom either. So all in all, I think they'll perform quite well. Though you'll just have to see in that next episode. It'll probably be out later this week. So make sure to stay tuned to the channel. That's going to be it for today's segment, but I do want to thank you all for listening, and then send it back to the hosts.
So great minds think alike, right? About the silver dropping. And
right.
So I have not heard an announcement about a group boss. I was not aware that one's coming.
No.
So, no, King, we just say no. That's, the computer says no. All right, and for the last piece of audio today, we have PokeProf getting in early. He's having to work a ton of hours, apparently, but he got Red She-Hulk queued up for us.
Greetings, agents, and welcome back to the MAA Microanalysis. I am your friendly neighborhood PokeProf, and when any agent starts their mission here with us in the Alliance, it becomes immediately obvious the importance of tanking heroes. Having someone else being capable of taking the hit meant for a weaker ally is all that's really needed to allow them to survive a battle they might not otherwise see the end of, and many agents will go the extra mile by becoming mighty tanks themselves to support their heroes in battle. With that said, there's been a noticeable increase in heroes lately that function a bit better without a tank on their team, or even have some tank-like qualities of their own without being one themselves. Today's hero is among these members by being of the latter category, as well as being overall self-sustaining fighter that can be surprisingly hard to kill. Let's talk today about the Red She-Hulk. Perhaps the most important thing to know about Betty Ross is that her gamma energy makes her among one of the most durable heroes around. Be it through attacking or being attacked by her foes, she's almost always getting a little bit of stamina and health back in a fight, and this can make her monstrously dangerous against some of the lower damage foes she can go up against. What makes her even more deadlier is the fact that she has both flanked and fumbling in her kit, meaning that she'll be able to build up her gamma energy even faster, giving her more stats and more heals. Of course, this would be ignoring her other powerful qualities, namely that as one of the better opportunity-based heroes around. With access to 3 of the 5 class-based counter effects, and having a few more with staggered and hobbled, Betty's more than capable of forcing her enemies to fight on her terms. The major oddity in her kit is mostly due to her aftershock effect on her third skill, as it doesn't really seem to work along with the rest of what she can do, but it does open up some teammate options for her that she might not otherwise consider. One of the better ISOs to give the Red She-Hulk has to be the Intrepid EISO. While this is a rock that I'd be willing to equip to just about everyone, Betty makes exceptional use of it because of how it works alongside her gamma energy. Adding together both of the stat bonuses she'd be getting from these two effects, Miss Ross is getting about a 40% power bonus to all of her stats once maxed out on both Grit and Gamma. You can even toss in the Morale Boost ISO as well to give her another 10% bonus to her stats. All this and the Ignore defense on her level 9 makes for a powerful little package who doesn't really need to be babysat by a tank hero. The Red She-Hulk is a very powerful hero who's self-sustaining and capable of fighting her own battles right from the start, and she relishes every moment she gets in a fight. Should you ever be looking for a hero who you'll never have to worry about letting you down, you cannot go wrong with the might of this Red Woman. Head back to the Helicarrier, agents, and make sure to avoid General Ross. We don't exactly need him knowing that we were talking about his daughter now, do we?
Music for From the Helicarrier, oh, hey, provided Mike. By the beginning at last.
Scared me there.
Nice. Whew. Mike, she, the can, ball. She can handle herself. Don't worry. No, that's great. I like. I think I've got Red She-Hulk flight decking. So I'd much rather.
Are you okay?
Me?
Yeah. We got,
what happened?
A glitch, apparently, because on this end it was, I got Red She-Hulk and I'd rather smack. I'd rather get her off.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's Skype has been doing that left and right. It happened with Scott on TMS the other day, and he didn't hear it. It only heard on one side of the thing, so that's hilarious.
That's funny. All right. So I actually have Red She-Hulk on my flight deck currently as well right now, so... Maybe we'll pull her off and get her into the fray instead. Mm-hmm. All right. We have a few. Well, one of these is a really long email. Jump into
let's
the
dive
email.
In. All right. Nothing from Annie Doe this week, huh?
No, not this week.
Okay. All right. Hello. It's Special A-Class Strider Sir Commander CX-7 or CK-7 of the Mobius 118th Tactical Squadron. Oh my gosh. Destroyer of the Syndicate, Thorn in the Side of the Worthy, Dismantler of Ultrons, Defender of Spiders, Savior of the Savage Land, Consumer of Team Healing Elixirs, Survivor of the Morbius Simulator, Survivor of the Scrapper Isosars, Scourge of the Underworld, Ally to Asgard, Mother of Dragons, and Enemy of the Black Order. I might have inserted one in there. Just kidding. Seriously, though, the agent's list of accomplishments is pretty ridiculous. I did add references to other games. Wonder if anyone can spot them all. MVC4 is not confirmed at all, just to let you guys know. MVC4? Marvel vs. Capcom 4.
Yep.
Yeah, not confirmed at all. Since MA listens to this podcast, here we go. Bring back the lost Vishanti pages. Address the cheating going on in PvP. Where's my bird? I want my songbird. And do balance updates? Talk to us more? Anyway. Going back to the agent, with all those E3 suits, power armor, safeguard suits, and fused tech suits, it's hard to be a hardworking generalist agent. I should change up, I know, but the fact that I can gain stamina back so easily is immensely useful. How does someone run the generalist armors effectively? Is it possible to be a generalist against agent adamantium player? It's a good question. Going back to maybe I should bring attention to a particular character weekly and the more knowledgeable and with more stuff. I'm a cubeless low-income agent trying to make his way through S.H.I.E.L.D. on a tight budget about the game could make a build on them. I keep seeing characters on the street holding up will work for ISO 8 signs. We need to help them, such as, actually, most of the geniuses aren't good. Wait, are they intentionally underperforming so the agent will use them and they're free to stop the incursions? Kang intentionally hampered himself so he could be left alone to stop the world from being destroyed. Makes sense to me.
That's funny.
Anyway, the character of the week is Black Cat. As a fan of Felicia Hardy ever since the 90s cartoon show, I'm not really enthused with how she's being portrayed in the comics at this time. And from what I've read, she's the only character in the game without a default passive. Still, someone out there could make her good, right? I do know the Nerve Chop does really good damage against bleeding enemies. Maybe she should get a refactor.
Sure.
Unlucky enemies have a chance to gain collapsing infrastructure, pressure points, opportunist, reduced potential, or their attacks could give her buffs. Maybe she could even have a higher chance to resist dodge debuff effects. She did have bad luck powers in the comics. Maybe a targeting passive, targeting-based passive since she was a private eye. I really like the idea of her being able to steal buffs from opponents and give them to herself like she did with the ammo in her heroic. That would be cool. Final question. What story-based buff alternate costume series would you do next? We've done the Worthy, the Horseman, several Avengers incarnations, if that qualifies, and the Phoenix Five. Me? The Enigma Force. We could have as a character, but that's against the whole the hero that could be you gimmick of the Unipower Captain Universe. Maybe the Captain Universe Spider could sadly pass and give his power to several heroes in order to help fight against Solas or the Inheritors. Or we could just have random heroes get empowered by the Unipower to fight the Worthy. Dude, I love, now the letter's finished, this is me talking. Yeah. I love the Captain Universe look. That whole Steve Ditko blue with the white stars or black with the white stars costume. Spider-Man had a really good one. One of the Captain Marvels had it for a while. I love the idea of having a bunch of alts for those characters that have that. That'd be really cool. Aside from that, geez.
I don't know right now off the top of my head any alts that were a team-based whatever.
Right. Like all appeared at the same time. There was the Secret Wars.
Right.
Secret Wars, it was Secret War, where you had black versions of a few of the characters. Spider-Man went back to his black version. Let's see. I think I want to say Luke Cage. This is before Secret Wars. I'm sorry. This was before Secret. This was after the first Secret Wars, but before the more recent Secret Wars that narrowed everything down. Holy cow. So yeah, you had Wolverine, Daredevil, Captain America, Black Widow, and Spider-Man that all were part of this. And from what I remember, they all had, there was an alternate versions of their costumes that was black. Well, looking at some of these, maybe not. Oh, this is where Daisy Johnson first made her first appearance.
In Secret War?
In Secret War, yeah. All right. Well, anyway, you get my view on that.
I want the
you just lost your camera too, by the way.
Oh, I see that. It's just off. Thank you,
Skype. It's another Skype thing.
Randomly doing that. I appreciate you.
Everyone thinks that you're on a poo break. If you are, please don't turn your camera back on.
I want the Alpha Flight alts, and by that I mean I want Alpha Flight.
Yeah. So
that's where it will work. All right, next year's. Hey there, guys. Hope you're doing fine. First, let me break the news. Namor and his tiny wings are finally back at Marvel. Yay! Mm-hmm. I know that this leaves a lot of people excited, as there might be a chance we finally get to see the long-awaited Submariner come to MAA. I got schooled a long time ago about Submariner, and people are like, no, it's Submariner. It's like, okay, right. Technically, it's whatever I want it to be, because I said it. But anyway,
yeah,
no, it's Submariner.
But Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner is pronounced Mariner and not Mariner.
It depends on where.
There's precedent.
How redneck you are.
There's precedence for that being for that phrase.
So I said it correctly. If I had to guess, my prediction would be that we might see him in the game maybe as of late this year. There was an image that came out a couple years ago showing new heroes and others who would later get costumes. Namor was included on that list, so I think Platinum will know when to splash some water at us. And please give us Tiger Shark. Yeah, that'd be cool. Now on to my other bit of news. Some might not have noticed, but it looks like Death Locket's sprite has been updated, now making her look a lot less frail, and thank God. Looking at her was more frightening than looking at an Amazing Spider-Woman's alien-shaped hand. Oh, segue. Speaking of aliens, I'm kind of surprised we're getting another two-hero Spec Ops featuring Guardians of the Galaxy after just recently finishing Spec Ops 34, which also had two heroes. Not that I'm upset about the news, but this leaves me to wonder, will we ever have another group boss? With one hero taking the place, I think it'll be impossible for PD to release three heroes, a group boss, and an entire Spec Ops alone. So if you do think this is a strategy of making players spend money on silver, do you think this is a strategy of making players spend money on silver? Something of which I'm pretty sure most agents won't do. Let me know what you guys think. This was Agent M drawing, signing off, and urging you to help him fight against Agent McCall from Spellcheck. That's a throwback, asshole.
So how do we know we're getting a two-hero Spec Ops featuring Guardians of the Galaxy?
I heard this one as well.
Because Nova's going to be a general release character, right?
Right. Sorry, getting distracted by the chat room. I don't.
They want you to turn down your Skype.
Yeah, but that would be your Skype. I don't know. So I have not heard any of this. I'll just speak quietly.
Mantis and Moondragon. I'm sorry. Yeah, M Sketches is right. That is right. That's the next Spec Ops is Mantis and Moondragon.
Oh, is it both of them at the same time?
Yeah,
it is. I'm misremembering that. I remember the names.
Yep. Yeah, okay. I forgot. That was an announcement a while back. So yeah. Whoops. Yeah.
So that is a good point. I mean, I don't see them doing two heroes and a group boss at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's possible because the way they managed two heroes on this Spec Ops was really well done. It made the Spec Ops very fast, and you went back through and did it again, and then you did something different. And by the time you were basically done on your second run through of any of it, you're pretty much done. You know, it worked very well. It was very streamlined. They could do it. Would it be what, Yondu? I mean, who would be? Would they bring Ronan back in the
Give
game?
Give us the crystalline guy that we talked about last week, whose name I forgot already. But it looks like a big pile of crystal.
Man, I totally can only think of Ben 10 right now. For some reason.
Oh, geez. Yeah, no.
No. Although those are really cool bad guys in those shows.
Right.
And heroes.
Right.
We really need a group boss. We need a group boss or some other way to bring back more silver. Mm-hmm. Now, very quickly on the topic of Namor, don't get your hopes up yet. It's complicated. So the quick answer from cinemablend.com, they sat down with Feige to ask about the Marvel movie rights the movie rights for Marvel and Disney about Namor. And it's basically yes with a caveat. And here's exactly what Feige says. It's slightly more complicated than that. Let's put it this way. There are entanglements that make it less easy. There are older contracts that still involve other parties that mean we need to work things out before we move forward on it. As opposed to an Iron Man or any of the other Avengers or other Marvel characters where we could just put them in. Of course, he's referring to cinematic stuff. However, we know currently cinematic rights rule all, and it won't make an appearance in the game unless they can push it in a movie or some other way to make money with it.
Right.
So while some of the rights apparently have reverted back to Marvel Disney as a new thing in the past month, that doesn't necessarily mean they're rushing to push it out in the game. I would love for that to happen, but we've also discovered that Disney controls this very tightly. So if Namor appears, my guess, Ibbit, is going to be he's going to show up in Future Fight or some other game first.
Right. And I think even then, he's going to appear in a movie first and then be put in the game.
Yeah. And where would he show up? Maybe Infinity War Part 1?
Maybe.
He is.
They could wedge him. They could wedge him into Uncle George. Uncle George is calling me on the line. they could wedge him into maybe not Doctor Strange, but Captain Marvel.
He could be a stinger on Doctor Strange.
He could be a stinger on Doctor Strange.
He's part of the Illuminati. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right. We got one more email here. I'm trying to see if there's anything else in this one email. I'm getting used to the scrolling on our new
notes. I know. It is a little bit different, isn't it? Yeah.
But yeah, so we address all that stuff. So cool. One more email.
All right. Hello, agents. Clearance level 7 agent CK7 here. We've gotten Beetle. We're getting Songbird. Think there's a possibility for her boyfriend, original Beetle, Mach Abner Jenkins. I know. I loved his costume design, so I'd love to see that. PvP was weird. Placed in my desired league, Diamond, but I believe the cheaters were why I was facing high health 23 to 25,000 versus my 15 to 16,000 teams in Gold League of all places. Generalist agent tips wasn't stated last week. Just a question. Black Cat tips. Again, my last email. I suppose if it's okay, I could just resend these segments along with a few new things next week since I should be busy. All right. So you want to address generalist agent?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So here's what happened. The email came in. We split recording Classic and Deuce last week. And mm-hmm. the email for him came in like on Wednesday. We recorded on Tuesday. So we didn't get the first one, which we already read earlier. That was an email Ibbot just read.
Right.
I don't know if you can be a generalist and be successful anymore
in this day and age.
Yeah. How
low are the stats of the generalist costumes, even the best generalist costume?
They're all midline. So as opposed to like Bruiser would have more attack and more health and dodge would be lower on the Bruiser. They're all midline, which is fairly high. I mean, it depends on which level mm-hmm. you get the suit at, right? Mm-hmm. Or which suit you get. It's not that. For me, it's the lack of real boost to your game mm-hmm. with it. So with mm-hmm. the Bruiser, you get hit by, or you hit a scrapper, get hit by a scrapper, you get the strength up, the health up, you know, boost your stats, so you get enraged. Or, of course, if you're level 15, you get that nice little bar. I think at level 15, actually, your hero doesn't get that, I guess. Never mind. You don't get that. Certain suits have bonuses that you can do. I still see the anniversary generalist with the party on Garth, whatever it was on there, the birthday cake. And it works okay, especially in the day and age where we're draining stamina like
there's a lot of stuff. I mean, Angrier sucks away stamina, and there's lots of weapons. The experiment that'll suck away stamina. So it seems like it makes sense if you're running a team that uses a lot of stamina that you may want to try rolling on it. I don't know. I mean, it seems like they need to release a better generalist costume.
Yeah, and they didn't release the last cycle of costumes around the flight suit incident. There was an end of cycle, and we assumed that we'd get a generalist something for
would
the
be
anniversary.
The last one. Right.
And we did not. It's so middle of the road. It's a good, mm-hmm. it's a viable option. I ran generalist for a very long time because it has no weaknesses either. You know, you don't get an extra turn if you're a tactician. You don't get to hit me twice if you're a scrapper because I'm a generalist. But at the same time, I right off the top of my head, I have a hard time thinking of how to load one out that would make it a PvP boss. And the chat room's not jumping in on it either, so and Onotopia says, didn't they say they are done with generalist costumes? I don't know. I honestly don't see everything that they put out. We kind of rely on the community to help give us that kind of news. So tips, avoid it. That's my tip. Black Cat, for me, get her A. I don't know what ISO she has. So the alphabet super ISO, get her specific ISO.
Right, and also get her alt, too.
Get the alt. Mm-hmm. And then you just make her tougher, stronger, healthier, defensive up, if you can. And that, she's actually pretty decent. I don't use her in PvP, but I use her in PvE. And, of course, she has her own heroics that we went through with Spider-Man. So
You need to use her with... I don't know, like Elektra or somebody that can take advantage of her bleeding attacks, her her nerve chop exploits bleeds. I don't know.
She's got some nice rocks to put on her that helps tweak things out too.
Right. Right.
I don't remember all of them. I know there's a couple.
The lands on her feet, which might give her an extra turn. And then there's
That one's okay.
Deja vu follow up attacks. If the target's bleeding. So that's a really good one. The startling.
Yeah. Then call Anado, and Anado will do a workup on Black Cat for you.
Right.
And then call Pokeprof because he'll do one too. So there's for both Anado and Pokeprof. There you go. Black Cat.
Another Dial a Hero gold sale item seems kind of unimaginative, repetitive though. Why Quake and to a lesser extent Lockjaw over Medusa and Gorgon? Medusa and Gorgon are key members of the royal family. That's right. I didn't realize that. Medusa and Gorgon weren't in that list. That is crazy. Although if we get the rest of Hyperion Squadron, Nighthawk, Dr. Spectrum, Power Princess, Speed Demon, can we get a red bat phone gear to summon them? Great Scott! How about a summon Thunderbolt? As in Thunderbolt shape gear that summons Thunderbolts, the team, not the, lightning. You know, it's surprising we don't have an Avengers variant. Maybe it'd be the Avengers membership card that beeps. No kidding. That is funny. It'd be funny also to have a Warriors 3 one as well. Or I guess we do have that with the... Do we have that with the Asgardian one?
No.
All right.
I don't think so.
All right.
How about one that summons new content? That'd be a good one to have.
Yeah. clicking that like nobody's business. Let's see. Especially considering the stamina drain possibilities of the new tactician suit, would it be a good idea for generalists to give stamina bonuses again? Not tacticians, just generalists. There's not that many, and they seem to be considered a less important class over the rest. What if they got rid of all the other bonuses from said class and just made it give stamina bonuses? All right.
Interesting.
Let's talk about one of my favorite heroes in the game, Fixer. I find it unfair to say that he's only good for group bosses. He deals a huge amount of damage with a distant EISO, and if you put tech upgrade on his level 6, so when he switches, he gains it, put obsolescent tech on his level 1 to instantly pop Winter Soldier's minds, or just annoy the team and downgrade magnetize them all. Sure, he's a bit of an idiot on defense, which is in character considering what he did in Thunderbolts number 173 and number 174. But so are a lot of other characters. Unless I'm fighting Scream or other bosses, I never use mines in PvP or PvE. I don't run him in PvP, but that's not because I think he's bad there. He's just not ready. He probably benefits from level 15 bonuses for how versatile it makes him, right? Plus, he's got a Gatling gun. That's amazing. Question, is there a character that you would want that PD considers too evil to be a lockbox hero? I had an idea for Dormammu as a covert ops hero, that term not really applying in his case. Furious for being nearly killed and then tortured by the Faltines and Spitfire Spec Ops, Carl Mordo sends the agent on a mysterious covert task that ends with Dormammu being placed under the control of the agent as revenge for what happened to him. Of course, like all stories with people messing with forces beyond their control, it awakens an unspeakable evil Shumagorath. Maybe the item you gained? Yeah, thank you. Umar could also be used in this, but I find Dormammu a good choice. It could have disastrous consequences in waking an unimaginable threat that could have a significance in season 3 if we got one. Oh, man. CK7, keep them shorter, man. You'd get gear like in Satana's Cryptescent Scroll of Akhnazak. I wonder how hard level 15 Black Panther with all his Panther buffs, Blue Marvel, Heimdall, and Calculated Force would hit. I don't have my level 11 Panther ISO setup right to check. P.S. Iron Spider. I have a paragraph about how I would do Iron Spider that I won't get into yet. Thank God. It involves multiple characters in one slot, two actions in a round, teamwork, a clone, and Mary Jane. Maybe next week. Oh,
no clones. No clones.
Yeah, no clones. Yeah, is there a character that PD would say is too evil to be a lockbox character?
They said Carnage. Absolutely no Carnage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Carnage would be great. And that's how you do it. You say he's under control of so-and-so. Scorpion would be. I'd love to have Scorpion. If we're getting all our Sinister Sixes, Scorpion should be in there too.
Yeah, I would disagree with the game-playing universe. And say that, what they did with Agent Venom, where when he's Venom, he's a little unpredictable. I would take that and go full out with it. Carnage is 100% unpredictable. He just has an attack button. That's it.
Right.
You hit attack, you don't know what he's going to do because he's Carnage. But you know what? For whatever reason, he's teamed up with you. Just let him be Carnage. And it just the chaos would ensue. Now, I don't want him hitting my own people. I want to know at least he's going to do something.
That's what's going to happen. It's going to be like an unpredictable. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, and technically we do have Scorpion. We just need a Scorpion alt for anti-venom.
All right.
Because that's Matt Gargan.
Okay. So I know people would be driven crazy, but I kind of like the idea of like just kind of flinching, go, okay, hit, go, do your thing. What happened? Okay, everybody died. Cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They won't do it. All right, man. Any tips, tricks? Content is coming. It is.
Technically, we're between spec ops, so don't collect your ally visits until you're sure it's not happening that day. I know I say it every time, and I'm going to keep saying it every time until it happens.
And, you know, I'm going through and farming a little bit. There's still Chris. If you want a reason to get back into the game, well, I bet you have one. It's Angrier. Go spend your 20 gold and then play with him so you can get ready for PvP. But for me, I go and I find crystals for characters I don't have yet. Star-Lord, I need to learn how to play him a little better. So I'm going to be playing him just to get a feel for it. I don't play a lot during these times, but I'll find something once a day. Because, man, I got to tell you, I've done it twice recently. Missing a check-in sets you back 5 days. And instead of having over 100 CP, I have over 90 because I keep having to go through that 5-day reset. So at least check in, and content is coming. So I guess we're ready for Mikey then.
All right.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes, on the Helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, the boss has fled. Fled.